I want to introduce to you somebody you already know. I got to know her as Lieutenant Governor, then as Congresswoman, now as your Governor, Mary Fallon.
Good to see you, ma'am.
Welcome. Don't you just love David Barton? Thank you, David, for being here. I've been a big fan of David Barton's for many, many years, and we're so glad. Wow, what a great crowd we have. Holy cow, that's a lot of people. They told me it was really hot in the room. Now I know why. You guys have got it hot in here. But welcome to everyone. I have to tell you, this is such an exciting political season. And to have Senator Ted Cruz come to Oklahoma so many times in his presidential campaign is truly exciting. And I think Senator Cruz knows that Oklahoma is the most conservative state in the nation. That's why he's here. Aren't we? That's right. And we're a state that believes in the same values that he believes in, which is faith, family, and freedom for all Americans. Now, I think what also Senator Cruz knows, and we're so glad to have all the Republican candidates coming through Oklahoma, it's been exciting. The Democrat candidates can stay home if they want to, but anyway, it's exciting because Oklahoma matters this Super Tuesday. It matters. And this is a critical state, and they all know that. But I hope what Senator Cruz knows, I'm sure he does, that President Obama actually lost all 77 counties in our state. But not just once, he lost it twice. In fact, the state of Oklahoma has not voted for a Democrat for president since 1964, 52 years ago, and we're not going to start now, right? All right. Well, the way we're going to elect a Republican to the White House is to get out and vote on Tuesday. So your vote is critical to get out and vote and to make sure that we have a conservative in the White House. And so we are very thrilled that so many of you have come out today. But I'm really excited to have so many great people like David Barton, but also Glenn Beck is here. I've known Glenn Beck for several years, had the opportunity to speak with him beyond his shows, and he is certainly one of our, if not the most, one of the most conservative political commentators in our nation. We have certainly watched him on our various television networks, especially Fox News over the years. We've listened to him on syndicated radio shows across the nation, and we valued his opinion because he's a thoughtful conservative leader. He's published 6 different books that have been on the New York Times bestseller list, and he has certainly traveled across the nation, lending a voice to all the conservatives. So let's give Glenn Beck a really warm Oklahoma welcome.
Well, hello, Oklahoma. How are you? It is so good to be here with you. What a great crowd. Thank you for coming out on a Sunday and spending some time. What are we all here for? Now, I beg to differ with you. I think we're here for the Constitution of the United States of America. That is what can make America great again, is the Constitution. When the president stands up to take his oath of office, he doesn't stand there and says, I'm going to make the rich pay their fair share, or I'm going to get rid of welfare, or I'm going to make sure that gays get married or gays can't get married. He stands and takes the oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And it is high time we demand a president do exactly that. Bernie Sanders has diagnosed the problem in our country fairly well. If you listen to him, his answers on how to fix the problem don't work. Historically, they have never worked. But if you look at how he has diagnosed the problem, he is right. And one of the things that people who follow him say, and he says it from the stage all the time, is that there's a problem in America on basic fairness. He says that we are a nation that was born on fairness and out of fairness. And that's not exactly true. The idea I think he's trying to express, if you rinse out all of the socialism, is accurate. We are a country that has always understood fairness, and we've always sought for fairness. But in our documents, we didn't talk about fairness. We said all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's American fairness. And that's what we've gotten away from. Right now, the way our system is supposed to work, Wealth of Nations, Adam Smith, a brilliant man, who gave us this idea of capitalism. And it is the invisible hand of the market. And that book used to be studied in our universities and still is, Wealth of Nations. But there was a book that preceded that, that is just important. In fact, Wealth of Nations quotes it all the time. And the book that Adam Smith, that is the companion, the one that came out first, was Moral Sentiments. And it says, if you're not a moral people, the invisible hand will come out and choke you to death. And that's what's happening to us right now. We don't have equal justice. We don't have fairness. Right now, if I'm a guy in business and I want to start my own hotel or my own casino, and there's another guy who's got all the money in the world, it seems, and he's got his own casinos and putting strip clubs in them and everything else. I don't know exactly who I might be talking about, but just off the top of my head, like who could be a casino and hotel owner. But anyway, if I'm just a guy starting out, I should be able to compete with that man, and I should be able to compete on a fair, even level. But because he has money, because he has access, and he can bribe people, and that's, let's be honest, let's stop saying that buying politicians is not bribery. It is bribery. And because he can bribe politicians, the playing field is unequal. And that's where fairness falls apart. That's where all men created equal falls apart, because justice is no longer blind. And justice must be applied equally, whether you're Donald Trump or whether you're you, whether you are me or Hillary Clinton. I know if I went and did the things that Hillary Clinton did, I'd be in jail. And that's why Hillary Clinton should not be running for president. She should be in prison. If I would go to prison, she should go to prison. If my business failed, the banks should fail. I'm tired of hearing about somebody is too big to fail or somebody is too big to go to prison. That's the problem in America. So what is the solution? Well, there are four solutions that are currently being bandied about. And the first one is socialism. But that's only happening because we have let our schools go so far away, because we didn't guard them locally. They were taken by the federal government. And now we're being taught that socialism is neat. Socialism is a step away from communism, and communism is anything but neat. It's a death squad. So we're going for socialism, some of them. Others are choosing to stay with the status quo. And I would put Hillary Clinton, well, actually, I would put her in cell block 6, but Hillary Clinton is also in the status quo. And I would put Marco Rubio in there. The status quo of, it's okay, it's not so bad, we'll just limp along and we'll bite around the edges. And the status quo is, it works for me. With Hillary Clinton, she's getting rich, and it works for her, and it works for Bill, and so they'll do whatever it is they want to do. I think with Marco, it's an honest mistake. He just believes in negotiating and deal-making, and he has already lost his soul. When you stand with the Tea Party and say, this is who I am, and then you go make a deal with Chuck Schumer, and you don't think that's a problem, that shows that you've really lost your way quickly. Socialism, the status quo. The third option is totalitarianism. And let's make no mistake, Donald Trump is one of the, is, I believe, the most dangerous man to ever be seriously considered for president of the United States. And Christians, you better wake up your Christian friends. I really truly don't understand what they're thinking, other than they're angry. And everybody is saying it's crazy. It's like 2008 never happened. I was in South Carolina and I talked to people and I said, "Who are you voting for?" And they'd say, "Donald Trump." "Why?" Quote, "Because I want change." I said, "Remember how that worked out last time? That's not good. Because we just need to shake up the system." No, not just because we have to shake up the system. What is it the man believes in? Today, he came out and he would not even distance himself from the KKK. He came out and Jake Tapper asked him, he said, "David Duke has pretty much endorsed you and the Ku Klux Klan." And they said, "Would you come out and make a statement against him?" And he said, quote, "I don't really know what you're talking about, and I'd have to do my research before I would ever condemn any group." And Jake Tapper said, "It's the Klan." Pointy little hat. He didn't condemn them. America can never be made great. Never be made great by any one man as president of the United States. America is great because America is good. And if we don't recognize our goodness and shore up our goodness and make sure that we always maintain our goodness, we will indeed be lost. But the only thing a president can do is to get the federal government out of your way so we, the people, can make America great again. It is such an honor to stand with you. I've never endorsed anybody ever before, mainly because, you know, most of my life nobody asked for my endorsement. But also because I've never wanted to give my endorsement to anybody. And I don't think I will ever endorse anybody ever again. I hate to say never, but this is crazy. And it's hard. But I know we feel very much alike. We have been through quite a journey together in the last 15 years, since September 11th. And we swore to each other we would stay awake, and we swore to each other. We knew on September 11th how fragile liberty truly was. You remember that moment? And you saw that second tower fall, and you thought, this could be it. And then we got arrogant again, and we lost our way. It's time, before the next tragedy hits, that we recognize how fragile and how cherished that liberty is. I want you to turn around and look at somebody you're not with. And I'm going to make you really uncomfortable. Look them in the eye. Ooh. Look them in the eye. I could make it worse. I could say, look them in the eye and say, "I love you," but we shouldn't actually have a problem with that. But even I do. But look them in the eye. And stare them in the eye and do this. Just say this: "I pledge to you my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor." Now let me ask you this. That person that you're looking at that you most likely don't know, do you want anything less for them than you want for yourself? Do you want anything less for their children or their grandchildren than you want for yours? This is what we are supposed to be like. The Constitution is the great leveler. And it shows us that we're all the same. And that we're all supposed to be treated the same. And we are standing. It is an honor to stand with people who went out and were part of the Tea Party. And I want you to understand something. This is how unique you are. You meant it when you said it was about the Constitution. You meant it. It wasn't about, well, it's just because it's a Democrat, or God forbid, it's because he was black or whatever. You actually meant, no, we play by the rules, and we do it the right way, and we do it using the Constitution. Because we have faith in our founding documents, and we have faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want you to know I am really optimistic. I am really optimistic of what's going to happen because I do believe in the parting of the seas. I do believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I do believe. I send my prayers every night. I say to him, because I thought of it a different way until recently. If my people will just turn their face to me, I will heal their land. If my people, well, I thought that was all of us, quite honestly. And then I realized a lot of the people who say they're his people, not really, not so much. Not so much. There's going to be a lot that he doesn't recognize. I don't know you. But think of how many of his people have turned every night. We all say in our prayer, Lord, your people have turned to you. We have turned to you. You are a God of promises. Heal our land. I believe that Ted Cruz was raised for this time to heal this land. And the miracle could happen right here. You go out on Tuesday with your friends and your family, and you have Ted Cruz win in Oklahoma. This will be the place where miracles were seen. Because remember, Bill Clinton didn't win a state until Georgia. That's 2 weeks away. So miracles can happen, and we need to expect them and live our lives in a way where we can demand them. We'll keep our side of the bargain, Lord. We know you will. We'll keep our side. We'll live our lives the way we're supposed to because we're going to be held responsible. I want you to all understand, there are no innocent bystanders. This is a full contact sport. This whole thing called life is a contact sport. There are no innocent bystanders. No one is going to come up to the great judge of all the universe and say, oh yeah, well, I was just kind of watching that one. I really didn't participate. We have the greatest gift ever given to any of us, and that is our rights. And our rights were given to us by God. But it is high time that the American people stop talking about their rights and start recognizing their God-given responsibility to protect those rights. I am really fortunate to be able to be a steward of some really amazing things from history. And David and I are wanting to build a museum down at my studios in Dallas. And we want to actually make it more of a school where you can come down and you can see some of the great things in America so you will understand, so your children will never forget that these things really happened and these people actually lived. George Washington was one of the greatest men, I encourage you to read his farewell address today when you go home, because he talks about the end of the Republic. He says that there's going to be a problem with the two-party system, that they're going to go back and forth, they'll eventually become the same thing, and they'll be vindictive against each other, and that vindictiveness will eventually play into the mood of the American people, and a guy will rise up, this is in his farewell address, one guy who will rise up that only cares about himself and take it. Does that sound familiar? That's George Washington in his farewell address, warning us at this time, and I believe he saw this time. He was a man of exactness. He was a man of purpose, and everything about him was measured. And it started when he was very young. When he was 13 years old, he became a surveyor, and he would make maps. And he went out and he surveyed Virginia. He surveyed Pittsburgh. He was all over, and he made maps, exact maps. When he was 13 years old, he got this. This is his compass, his original compass, the only one that he used his whole life. So when he was out on the battlefield at Valley Forge, he used his compass to make his measured steps. What's amazing about this is if you hold it, would you like to hold it? You hold it here, hold it like this, put your thumb right there. And don't stab anybody with it, yes. Now rub your, do you feel that thumbprint there? You feel it? It's amazing, isn't it? Any doubt in your mind that that's a thumb rub? No doubt at all. George Washington, I had a day when I was at Fox that I had the goods on somebody, but I didn't have it all buttoned up yet. And I was going to tell you who it was, but I'm not going to. And I had the goods on him, and I could have nailed him, but it was wrong. But they were causing me a great deal of hemorrhaging, and it would have felt good to nail him, but it wasn't quite right. I got up that morning because I knew what my day was going to be like, and I knew I was going to be faced with, do it. Just do it. So I opened up the safe, and I put this in my pocket. And if you watch that episode of Fox, you will see that my hand is in my pocket the whole episode. And I'm rubbing this. Stay true. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't violate your principles. Stay measured in everything you say today. And as I rub this, that's when I found that thumbprint. And there is an indentation of a man his entire life rubbing this compass. I believe we all have the spirit of George Washington in us. We just need something to remind us, stay measured, stay on course, do the right thing. Because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what is incredibly difficult for us to do, but that's what we are now required to do. And there's a few things that are going to take some hard work. Would anybody like some air conditioning? Yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm the only dummy that showed up in a sweater, so pipe down. This is a letter, a card written by Ronald Reagan to his daughter, Patty. And Patty and Ronald Reagan had a falling out, and it was really tough on him. This was written right after he told the world that he had Alzheimer's. And he wrote this. It said, "Patty, it was good to hear from you. As the song says, the days dwindle down to a precious few. I think now more than ever that's appropriate. Patty, I think a talk between us is the answer to solve some of our differences." They hadn't spoken in forever. "There are extremists on both sides of every issue, but reasonable people should look into both sides and see if every charge or countercharge is justified by the facts. Even if there are differences, does this justify a family separation? We can disagree on things without abandoning our family principles and relationships. I remember the little girl who sat on my lap and asked me, 'Dad, will you marry me?' Love, Dad." She sold this letter for drug money. She missed her opportunity. But I believe that our opportunity to say those very things to our friends and neighbors is right now. And we have to. We have to go out and talk to all of the people we know before Tuesday and say, look, there are extremists on both sides. But righteousness demands reasonable people. Look at every charge and countercharge and find out what the facts are and find out if there's true. And even if there are differences, we must not let hate grow inside of us. We must do the right thing to make America great again. This is a note that was written by John F. Kennedy in 1961. He was over in the former Soviet bloc, and he was talking to Khrushchev, and everybody had asked him not to go and talk to the communist leader of Soviet Union because Khrushchev would destroy him. He was inexperienced and young, and Kennedy didn't know what he was doing, and they all said, don't go. And so he went. And he went, and he lost. And we were humiliated as a country. So he got back onto his 727 at the time, Air Force One, and he flew back across the country. He went into his cabin on the plane, and he started writing a speech. And he was trying to explain to the American people his arrogance and what had happened. And about halfway through, he buzzed his secretary, who was outside of the cabin, and he said, "Evelyn, can you please come in? I need you to take all the papers away." Evelyn told us later that she had walked in to the cabin and he had his face down on the desk in dismay, and he had pushed all of the papers off of his desk. She quietly went in and picked everything up off the floor and threw it all away except this, because she thought it was meaningful. And I'd like to read this to you as not what he said, but what all of us need to say to ourselves at this time. He said, "I know there is a God, and I see a storm coming. If he has a place for me, I am." Then in a moment of real humility, he crossed that out and said, "I believe that I am ready." You and I all know there is a storm coming. Between our economic storm, between the storm that's happening on our border, ISIS, just the hatred, the seeds of rage that have been planted within us, neighbor against neighbor, family member against family member. There is a storm coming. But I believe there is a God. I know he has a plan for all of us. And we must be prepared to be ready to be used in that plan. Your job begins here and now, to go and do the right thing. Do you remember when, you remember Charlie Bucket? Anybody know who Charlie Bucket is? Charlie Bucket from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? That great statesman. Charlie Bucket was told by everybody, and this is very much what has happened to us as a society. He was told by everybody except his grandpa, "Charlie, you're never going to make it. You're not going to win. Oh, don't get your hopes up, Charlie. It's not going to happen. It's not going to. You're going to have this life from here on out." And that's what the American people have been told over and over and over again, just like Charlie Bucket. But Charlie Bucket didn't get the golden ticket, or he thought, because someone had engaged in fraud and they had rigged it. And it wasn't until the very end, after all the tickets had been found, that somebody found out somebody was engaging in fraud. And he had in his hand a chocolate bar, and he opened up that bar and he found this. This is the original golden ticket from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. This is Charlie Bucket's ticket. So what the heck does that have to do with Ted Cruz? I have absolutely no idea. Just thought I'd bring it along. No. Our golden ticket is the Constitution of the United States. Our golden ticket is what gets us past the gates. And if we always play by the rules, we get the entire factory. That's our golden ticket. Play by the rules. Do the right thing. And that's why I have endorsed Ted Cruz. That's why I have come out and spoken, and I wish others in my business would do the same. Because they all know. They all know who the best conservative, who's the one that is truly going to change this country. Somebody who is not afraid, and I've watched him as he stabbed in the chest and stabbed in the back by his own party and then kicked in the head by the media. For 4 years they've been doing this to him, and yet he still beats in a head-to-head against Donald Trump. He still beats Donald Trump, and head-to-head against Hillary Clinton, he beats Hillary Clinton by 7 points. You can't beat a progressive with a progressive. You beat a progressive with a constitutionalist. And he's the best one we've had, not since Ronald Reagan, but since Calvin Coolidge. Because we've seen this man in action. He will not compromise. It's in his bones. His father escaped from communist Cuba, almost being killed. He grew up with the Bible and the Constitution on his breakfast table. He was taught by a man who lost it all. He was taught by a man who had found it all. And by 13, he had memorized the Constitution and was telling everybody the Constitution and how easy it is to memorize. Woo-hoo. He was telling everybody at 13 years old, doing a statewide tour in Texas. He has it in his bones, and that's why when they try to offer him positions, when they try to make it easy for him, when they stab him in the back and the chest and hit him in the face, it doesn't matter. He knows where his house is built, and it's not built on sand. It's built on the rock of God and the Constitution. And no matter what those storms come in, he will not waver. He will not move. And that's what we need in the President of the United States. So I got this hat. I got this hat from a friend of mine. And it actually doesn't say, make America great again. It actually says, make America kind again. What we need is to be kind to one another. Never, ever give in to the hatred, because once we do, we lose the essence of who we are. Remain good. Remain tethered to each other and to the Constitution of the United States, and we will conquer any storm, especially when we have a captain of the ship like the next president of the United States and the first Hispanic president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen, Senator Ted Cruz.
God bless the great state of Oklahoma. What a blessing to be here with patriots. What a blessing to start with the incredible musical talent of Twyla Paris and Kathy Costello. What a privilege to be with Pastor Paul Blair. What a voice for America is David Barton. And how about Governor Fallon? What a blessing for the governor to be here and to welcome me here to the great state of Oklahoma. And how about Glenn Beck? Isn't Glenn extraordinary? Every time I listen to Glenn, I learn from him. Every time. Glenn is an educator. I love when he pulls out the whiteboard. When he begins walking through the principles of the framers that founded the Constitution, that founded this nation, that built this nation. And when he talks about the perils of progressivism, as you guys know, you can have progressives be, they can be Democrats or Republicans. You know, Reagan said, the scariest words in the English language are, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. You want an easy definition for a progressive? Someone that doesn't understand why those words are so terrifying. And you know, remember a couple of years ago when Glenn was talking about the coming Islamic caliphate? And people dismissed him as some crazy right-wing kook. Man, I can't imagine what that feels like. But then as we see ISIS rear its ugly head, declare a caliphate, we realize that speaking the truth has power. And I am so proud to be standing here with Glenn Beck and standing here with each of you patriots who love this country. All of us are here today because America's in crisis. Because we're bankrupting our kids and grandkids. Because our constitutional rights are under assault each and every day. and because America has receded from leadership in the world. And yet I'm here today with a word of hope and encouragement and exhortation all across Oklahoma, all across this country. People are waking up, and there is a spirit of awakening sweeping this nation. I believe this election in 2016 is going to come down to three key issues: jobs, freedom, and security. Let's talk about jobs. For 7 years, we've been trapped in the Obama-Clinton stagnation. If you're a single mom, if you're working 28, 29 hours a week, forcibly reduced part-time because Obamacare kicks in at 30 hours, if you're a working man and woman with calluses on your hand who's seen your wages stagnate for the last decade going nowhere under the Obama economy, if you're a young person coming out of school with student loans up to your eyeballs, scared, am I going to get a job? If I do, what does the future hold? Will I be able to provide for my family? What we're doing now isn't working. And you know, it's real easy to talk about making America great again. You can even print that on a baseball cap. But the real question is, do you understand the principles and values that made America great in the first place? The key to our economy is small business. Small business is the heart of the economy. I grew up in Texas as the son of two small business owners in the oil and gas industry. You want to hammer the economy, hammer small businesses like we've seen the last 7 years. You'll get what we got now: misery, stagnation, malaise. On the flip side, you want to unleash the economy, lift the burdens on small businesses, take the boot of the federal government off the backs of the necks of small businesses. If I am elected president, we will repeal every word of Obamacare. We'll pass common sense health care reform that makes health insurance personal and portable and affordable and keeps government from getting in between us and our doctors. And we will adopt a simple flat tax. Where every American can fill out our taxes on a postcard. And when we do that, we should abolish the IRS. For far too long, we've had deal makers in Washington, politicians who cut deals with the Democrats, who grow the debt, who grow regulation, who take away our liberties, that helps the giant corporations, it helps the lobbyists, and it leaves the working men and women of this country in the dust. You know, no issue illustrates that more powerfully than immigration. Immigration. In a Republican primary, everyone talks a good game on immigration. But if you want to know where someone stands, you need look no further than where they stood in 2013 over the battle of the Gang of Eight amnesty bill. In that battle, one senator, Senator Marco Rubio, made the decision to stand with Barack Obama and Harry Reid and Chuck Schumer and author a massive amnesty bill in the United States Congress. I made a very different decision. I made the decision to stand with millions of Americans and say, this will not stand, and we defeated amnesty in Congress. Now, a third candidate, Donald Trump. I'm told he talks a fair amount about immigration. But it's a very interesting question. Where was he in 2013? You know where he was? He was funding the Gang of Eight. Donald Trump gave over $50,000 to five of the eight members of the Gang of Eight. Let me tell you something. When you've spent 40 years giving money to open border Democrats, you don't get to campaign as someone who's going to secure the border. If I'm elected president, we are going to build a wall. And I've got someone in mind to build it. We're going to triple the Border Patrol. We're going to increase fourfold the fixed wing and rotary wing aircraft. We're going to end sanctuary cities. We're going to end welfare benefits for people here illegally. And let me tell you what we're going to see. We're going to see more and more jobs for American citizens. We're going to see wages going up. We're going to see people here illegally not driving down your wages and taking your jobs. We're going to see rule of law and national security being protected. And when we repeal Obamacare and pass a flat tax, we're going to see small businesses explode. Millions and millions of high-paying jobs, wages going up, young people coming out of school with two, three, four, five job offers. That's what this election is about, the future that we're giving to our kids and grandkids. The second thing this election is going to be about is freedom, our basic constitutional liberties. You know, 2 weeks ago, when Justice Scalia passed away, it underscored for people all across Oklahoma, all across this country, the stakes of this election. Last week, I went to Justice Scalia's funeral. I had the privilege of knowing Justice Scalia personally for 20 years. He was a lion of the law. He ferociously defended the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And it underscored his passing that this election is not one branch of government, but two branches of government hang in the balance. We are one justice away, one liberal justice away from a five-justice left-wing majority, the likes of which this country's ever seen, never seen. We are one justice away from the Supreme Court concluding that your religious liberty can be taken away and the government can force you to violate your faith on pain of fine or prisons. We are one justice away from the Supreme Court ordering Ten Commandments monuments to be torn down all over this country. We are one liberal justice away from the Supreme Court effectively erasing the Second Amendment from the Bill of Rights and holding that no American has any individual right to keep and bear arms whatsoever. We are one liberal justice away from the Supreme Court ordering veterans memorials with any religious symbols torn down all over this country. And we are one liberal justice away from the Supreme Court subjecting us to the authority of the World Court and the United Nations and international law and undermining American sovereignty. You know, last week at the debate, there was a powerful moment of clarity. When Hugh Hewitt asked about religious liberty and Donald Trump said to me, Ted, you got to be willing to compromise. You got to be willing to give in to the Democrats and work with them. Well, let me be very clear to the people of Oklahoma. I will not compromise and give up your religious liberty. And I will not compromise and give up your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. And Donald Trump is telling us his plan. His plan is to sit down with Harry Reid and Chuck Schumer and reach an agreement on a justice to replace Antonin Scalia. Well, let me tell you, if we reach that agreement, your rights and my rights will be lost for a generation. And I believe a decision that the voters in Oklahoma and across this country are making as they look at that debate stage is, who do I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, who do I know will get it right on the Supreme Court? And I give you my word, every justice I put on the court will be faithful to the Constitution and will defend the Bill of Rights for your children and mine. And the third critical issue in this election is security. For 7 years, we've had a president that has abandoned and alienated our friends and allies and has shown weakness and appeasement to our enemies. Again, in the debate last week, we had a clarifying moment when Donald Trump said if he was president, he would be neutral between Israel and the Palestinians. Well, look, it shouldn't be surprising. Liberal New York Democrats like Hillary have said that for many, many years. Let me be abundantly clear. If I am president, I will not be neutral. America will stand unapologetically with the nation of Israel. One of the most dismaying things that has happened over the last 7 years has been the weakening of our military. The lessening of readiness, the collapse of morale, 7 years of a commander-in-chief who doesn't believe in the mission of our military, who undermines them at every step. Now, we have an historical parallel for that. The Jimmy Carter administration did the same thing to the military, weaken this country. And what did Reagan do? He came in. He passed tax reform and regulatory reform. Small businesses took off and exploded, generated trillions in new revenue, millions of new jobs. That revenue Reagan used to rebuild the military, and we bankrupted the Soviet Union and won the Cold War. I intend to do the exact same thing with radical Islamic terrorism. We are going to rebuild our military and ensure that it remains the mightiest fighting force on the face of the planet. No longer is the United States military going to be governed by political correctness. We will have a commander-in-chief who says to the world, we will defeat radical Islamic terrorism. We'll have a president willing to utter the words, radical Islamic terrorism. And you know, one of the most shameful aspects of the last 7 years has been this president sending our fighting men and women into combat with rules of engagement that tie their arms behind their hand back and make it impossible for them to defend themselves and defeat the enemy. That is wrong. It is immoral. And mark my words, in January 2017, it will end. America's always been reluctant to use military force. We are slow to anger. But if and when military force is needed, we should use overwhelming force. Kill the enemy and then get the heck out of there. And let me speak to every soldier, sailor, airman, and marine. Let me speak to every mom and dad, every sister and brother, every son and daughter of a fighting man and woman. For 7 years, you've had a commander-in-chief who doesn't believe you, who doesn't support you, on January 20th, 2017, you have my solemn commitment. I will have your back. Now, some of y'all might be thinking, can we do this? Can it happen? You know, Scripture tells us there's nothing new under the sun. I think where we are today is very, very much like the late 1970s, the Jimmy Carter administration. Same failed economic policies. Same feckless and naive foreign policies. In fact, the exact same countries, Russia and Iran, openly laughing at and mocking the President of the United States. Now, why is it that that analogy gives me so much hope and optimism? Because we remember how that story ended. All across this country, millions of men and women rose up and became the Reagan Revolution. And it didn't come from Washington. Washington despised Ronald Reagan. You know, every candidate in the Republican field says they'll stand up to Washington. The natural follow-up question is, okay, when have you ever stood up to Washington? When have you taken on not just Democrats, but leaders in your own party? You want to know who'll stand up to Washington? Ask yourself one question. Who is Washington attacking? We are 2 days away from Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday, I believe, will be the most important day in this entire primary season. And I'll tell you, Oklahoma is a battleground. We are neck and neck. You know, 65% of Republican primary voters don't think Donald Trump is the right candidate to go head-to-head with Hillary Clinton. Recognize that Donald Trump as the nominee means Hillary probably wins and we lose this country. If you're one of those 65% here at home, I ask you, stand with us. What is unquestionably clear, looking at the first four races, our campaign is the only campaign that has beaten Donald Trump and that can beat Donald Trump. Here in Oklahoma, we're neck and neck with Donald. So, at folks at home, if you're thinking of supporting another candidate, listen, there are good people in this race, people I like, people I respect. But the only candidate in a position to beat Donald here in Oklahoma and across the country on Super Tuesday is us. And so if you don't want Donald to be the nominee, stand united with us. And let me tell you the power of this campaign. Look around. It is the men and women here. This is a grassroots campaign. This campaign is going to be won not on television, not on radio. It is going to be won friend to friend, neighbor to neighbor, pastor to pastor, Oklahoman to Oklahoman. And so I ask every one of you for the next 48 hours to pick up the phone, to call your friends, to call your family, to call your neighbors, to call your coworkers, to call anyone and everyone you can in Oklahoma or any other Super Tuesday state and say, this election matters. It's me. It's my family. It's my children. It's my grandchildren. Let's stand together. It took Jimmy Carter to give us Ronald Reagan. And I am convinced the most long-lasting legacy of Barack Obama is going to be a new generation of leaders in the Republican Party who stand and fight for liberty, who stand and fight for the Constitution, and who stand and fight for the Judeo-Christian values that built this great nation. Thank you, and God bless you.